very much. I was just looking at your sign over here. It says amazing love. And I think the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
I'm still on.
It's nice to be back with you again today. It's been a while. And my wife, Kathy, she would love to be here. But unfortunately, she's at home doing my job at church. She has to run the sound system. And my poor, loving wife is not the greatest with sound. So we set it all up last night, and I just hope she gets it straight. And I think she will. She made a lot of notes, but anyway, she sends her love. She'd love to be here. Thank you to the singers today. I got your names, but you know what? I can't even read my own writing. So I just want to say thank you very, very much. Your singing was awesome. Your songs were awesome. Praising the Lord Jesus Christ. It's certainly been a long time, and it's nice to get back together again and have fellowship with one another, isn't it? It's good to be with our forever family. It's been a long, long time. A long time. About a week ago, Kathy and I, we decided we'd take a little drive up North Front Street in Belleville. And, you know, we were still kind of in a lockdown situation. But I'm sure that everybody that owned a car was out for a drive that day. Really, the traffic was horrendous, and I think they just needed a break. They just needed to get out. So, anyway, but that was fine. But to be with our forever family is wonderful. And we have to go around and wear these silly masks. And, you know, I guess that's a small price to pay, that we don't get sick or we don't make somebody else sick. I read a little story the other day about this coronavirus, and I'd just like to share it with you, if you don't mind. And it goes like this. It says, my husband purchased a world map, and then he gave me a dart. And he said, honey, throw that dart, and wherever it lands, that's where I'm going to take you when this pandemic ends. Now, my wife is not very good at throwing darts, so it turns out we're spending the next 2 weeks behind the fridge. Isn't that something? But anyway, you and I'd like to get serious just for a minute. You know, you and I, we sit underneath God's word week after week. And some of us listen to it at home on TV. And that's wonderful because we get different ideas from different speakers. And you know, I have a tendency, and I'm being very honest, this is confession day, I guess. I'm being very, very honest, and that is the fact that I've been known to have the tendency of kind of, my head will kind of drop a little bit during a service, something like this. Do you ever have that problem? Does anybody ever have that problem? Oh, I'm going to speak loud to you guys. But anyway, I do. And my head nods a little bit. And my loving wife, whom I love very much, she gives me a jab in the ribs like this. And she says, wake up, wake up. And I turn around and say, I'm only praying. And she doesn't believe me either. But anyway, she does it very gently so that the pastor doesn't see. Because she makes me sit in the very front row. And it's really tough. It's really tough when you get that way. But we do. We sit underneath the message week after week, and sometimes during the middle of the week, and we listen to it. But I wonder, truthfully, do we really hear it? Do we really hear what the preacher is trying to say? I know you're sitting there thinking to yourself, well, I probably don't, thinking about me because I go to sleep. But It's true, isn't it? When you sit in a service, sometimes we have that tendency that we just don't hear. We listen, but we just don't hear. And you know, that happened to me, and for a little while, I had an awful time because I got down and I got depressed. I got frustrated and I didn't know what to do with myself, and I don't work anymore. We sold our home, so I don't feel like working out in the yard anymore. We had just put up a new fence. We took our pool out. I had where my flower beds were all going to go, and I knew all about it, and then we wound up selling our house. And I also think that not being able to be around friends and family also took its toll on that. It's very hard to be shut in. It's very hard to be shut in. But you know, one thing that I did not have at that time is I kind of lost a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I did. And you know, that can happen to anybody. When we get down, when we get frustrated, things just don't seem to go our way. The last person we seem to think about is the Lord Jesus Christ. We think about everything that we could do to straighten it up. But we forget that the Lord is the one, the Holy Spirit is the one that has the power that can pull us out of these slumps. And I know I just stopped learning. I really did. And I got to a point where it was very hard for me to pray. Just to pray. I could give thanks for my meal with no problem. That didn't bother me a bit. But to get down on my knees beside my bed and to pray, I found that extremely hard. Until our pastor spoke a few weeks ago, and I think that the Holy Spirit kind of pointed his finger at me and said, "Wake up, you donkey. You know, you're missing something. You're missing the point." And I was. And it was, again, it was that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that I was missing. If you have your Bibles with you, would you turn with me, please, to John's Gospel? This is a message I'm sure that you've heard a lot. But like I said, each time you hear it, there's generally something a little bit different. John's Gospel, chapter 15, please. And we're going to read from verse 1. John's Gospel, 15, verse 1. It says, "I am the true vine." I'm reading from the King James Version, by the way. It says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit is taken away, and every branch that beareth fruit is pruned, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except to abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. And if ye abide in me, my words abide in you. And ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so I love you. Continue in my love. And if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commands and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." The Lord bless the reading of his word this morning. An old story about the vine and the branches. I'm going to speak just a little bit, and I'm going to go off topic here and there, but I'm going to speak just a little bit on the word abide. Did you notice how many times it was in that short little passage of scripture? 11 verses, and the word abide was used 9 times. So that tells me that that word is important, abide. The word abide in the dictionary means to remain in, to continue in, to stay in, or abide in, or to have one's abode, to dwell. Now, this old world has seen a lot of changes in the last, say, 125 years. We've gone through a lot with the advanced technology, and I think if we hadn't grown up with it, the young people today just wouldn't understand. I know that there are things that I tell my grandchildren, they say, "Oh, Papa, you're joking." And I say, "No, I'm not joking. It's for real. It's for real." But you know, when we were growing up, I didn't have a TV until I was about 7 or 8. And the only reason that we got that was because my brother Lynn won a contest on the radio, and he won a little portable TV set. Black and white, and had the rabbit ears. Do you remember the rabbit ears? And you used to keep moving them around, trying to get the right reception, or else you had a piece of foil or something going between them, thinking that would help. Nothing really helped. The only thing that came on good was the test pattern. But anyway, we did finally get a TV. But prior to that, I spent a lot of time at our neighbor's place. I did. And you know, they had color TV. And that was wonderful. My father, who was a wonderful man, godly man, and spoke in, I don't know if he spoke here or not, but he spoke in the old chapel over on Main Street. But he actually let me stay home from prayer meeting 4 nights in a row so I could go to the neighbor's house and watch Daniel Boone in color. Can you imagine? That was wonderful. But anyway, we finally got our TV. But before that, as I said, I spent time at the neighbors. Now, then along came dishwashers, cell phones, microwaves, even fridges that you can plug into the wall came in. And I remember my friend and I that we used to chase the truck when we used to on Dublin Street in Peterborough over Hooper's Garage. And we used to chase the truck down the road, and we would be eating little chunks of ice that we'd get off the bed of the truck. Because the man was coming along, and he had his big ice vise, or whatever you want to call them, and a piece of leather on his shoulder, and he'd grab a big block of ice, and he'd throw it on his shoulder, and he'd travel up somebody's stairs and put it in their ice box. And that's what they had for a fridge, was an ice box. And believe it or not, we had one too. I didn't think it was that old, but we did. We had one too. But even when it comes to our milk used to be delivered to the horse and wagon. And some people think you're crazy. But you know what? That just shows you how tough we old people are, that we can come through all these things. We didn't have computers when we were young either, but we come through all these things and we survived. And I think that's great. We did a good job. Today, the young people, in my opinion anyway, a lot of them seem to have just about whatever they want. I know of a girl and in Belleville, and her parents are very well off, very well off. But the daughter is on drugs, and there's absolutely nothing they seem to can do about it. They have tried everything within their power. And the poor girl, she is just a lost soul. And anytime I ever see her, she's always by herself. Always. But you know, speaking on this word abide, the reason I chose that word is because we have to learn to abide with the Lord Jesus Christ in this book. We do. We need to abide, because if we don't, we'll be like everybody else and we'll read it and we'll understand absolutely nothing. Nothing. I know there's a lot of things in the Old Testament and the New Testament. I read them and my mind is just totally baffled. Baffled. But we have to abide. Now, if we abide in God's word and in God's love, then we will know what the secret of happiness really is. I was reading a book this week by Billy Graham, and it's called The Search of Happiness. And this is what he writes. He writes, The Search of Happiness. There are three things that young people are looking for today. And we, as Christians, as we can see our chapels, and I'm not talking about here, I'm talking about mine, ours as well. We see our chapels that the young people just don't seem to be coming out. And we would love them to. But you know, there are more things out there today for young people to do than there ever was in our time. When we used to go to church, that was our outing for the week. And maybe we'd go for a picnic. But today, the kids are off doing their own thing. But the children today, the young people today, it says, the first thing that they search for is they search for peace. I'm going to read this if you don't mind, please. They search for peace. The whole world is consumed with a search for inner peace, happiness, and joy. The peace that we seek is not merely a so-called peace of mind, which is blind to reality or comes and goes according to our moods or circumstances. The peace every man and woman seek is one that will free them from the anxiety and the frustrations of life's distracting conflicts and problems. It is a peace of soul that permeates one's entire being, a peace that operates through the trials and the burdens of life. Wouldn't that be nice when things come in that we just can't handle to have that special peace in our life? I know people that have gone through a lot of stress in their life, gone through a lot of problems, and I've seen a lot of circumstances. For an example, just to give you an idea, we used to live just outside of Belleville, and there's a gentleman that I knew. He was quite a heavy gentleman. He had a beautiful wife. He had two beautiful children, lovely children. They loved the Lord. They did. And they invited Kathy and I over for lunch, and we sat down to lunch, and he gave thanks for the food, and it was a wonderful, wonderful prayer. It was. And everything on the outside seemed to be going good. Because we can fool a lot of people, you know. And everything seemed to be going very, very good. But I found out later that this gentleman was quite abusive to his wife. Quite abusive. And it came that with all this that's going on, he couldn't handle the conflict. He couldn't handle the frustrations in his life. He had a great job on the railroad, but yet he went and he hanged himself. You know, when you see people like that, you just kind of say, how come? You know, you've got a beautiful home, you've got a beautiful family. But you know, even though we've got God's word and we can abide in God's word, Satan is still working. And I believe with all my heart that at this particular time in our life, Satan's working overtime. Because I think our time is very near. There's another time I went to Toronto a few years back to help a gentleman open up a music store. I used to sell pianos and organs, and so I went to help him when I closed up my store. And I went to work for a lady, and I lived in her apartment. Well, she traveled the world. She was a teacher, and that's what she did. She traveled the world, and she lived in hostels as she was going. While I was living there, I was doing some drywall work for her and repairs in her condominium that she had. But anyway, this one day her daughter called, drunk. And she said to me, she said, is my mother there? And I told her, I said, no. I said, you know your mother's gone on a trip. Oh, I forgot she's gone on a trip. We talked for about 3/4 of an hour on the telephone. And I was thankful that I had the privilege to talk to her. And when she hung up, I thought everything was going very good. Very good. And this was probably around November. And I found out that on December the 24th, she committed suicide. You know, life is tough. Life is really tough. And especially today, I think for young people that don't know the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior. And you know, when I look at young people here, you've got a great opportunity to be able to talk to people. I know it's hard to do, very hard to do. But when the opportunity presents itself, just take that little bite. You know, you don't have to say much, just a little bite. And it's very important. But peace on earth and goodwill to men means absolutely nothing to most young people today. Not all of them, but to most of them. The peace that can be found is a peace that they themselves have created. And it's sad when Jesus is standing there with his arms wide open, yet they just don't want to hear. They just don't want to hear. Psalm 91 says, "He that abideth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Oh, in him will I abide." I just added that. "Surely he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and the noisome pestilence." God is big enough to provide peace for everyone. On our sign at the chapel, I'm in charge of doing the sign, and I haven't changed it for 3 months because I think it's a good sign. And what it says, "Jesus is the answer to this world's problems." Second, the first, they're looking for peace. Second, they're looking for purpose. Man is confused and perplexed, wondering, where did he come from? And why is he here? Where is he going? He wants to know if there is truth in this universe. Truth which shall be like a polar star to guide him and to give him meaning. Some speculate that humanity is an accident on this planet. And according to their views, man was not put here for any particular purpose. He just happened. And some philosophers declare that man has no God-given purpose. And it's left up to us to make up our own purpose and meaning in life, if we can. Isn't that sad? It's very sad. Some young people think to themselves, well, nobody cares. Nobody cares. Some people think, what's the point? What is the point? They maybe haven't been brought up in a godly family. And these are some of the questions that they're asking. Our young people are slowly slipping away, and they're slipping into eternity and thinking that nobody cares. I'm sure that you think the way that I do is that we need to act and we do need to do something. But if you and I are to succeed, we need to abide again. We need to continue in God's word, because without Christ, we can do nothing. And again, I don't mean this harshly, but I'm looking at the young people here. We old gaffers, not you, Marty, I don't mean you. But we old gaffers are getting to the point where it's hard for us to get out and to do these things. And I'm not trying to make excuses, because we still can. But we ache and we creak. Like the lady said one time, "I just got my brain in order, now my body's falling apart." And that's true. That's true. We need to do our part. Anything that we can do. Thirdly, we search for a relationship. They want somebody again that cares. Even when they vehemently deny the existence of God, they are still searching for something to fill that vacuum of their souls. But only God can fill that vacuum. And we know that, don't we? Man is searching for something that will last. Human relationships are quite often subject to failure. And we can find that out if we go right back to the very beginning with Adam and Eve. You know, Adam and Eve were very fortunate people. They had the perfect relationship with God. The perfect relationship with God. They walked, it says, in the cool of the evening, and they talked together. And they probably sang together. I don't know. But a perfect relationship they had. But yet, they turned their backs on God when they took of that apple that they were not supposed to take. They put themselves first instead of putting God first. Many people feel alone today. And I'm sure Adam and Eve felt alone as well after eating that apple because it said they went and they hid themselves. And as we said earlier, man does not want to be alone. They yearn for this relationship with their Creator, even if they don't want to admit it. Let's just pray for a minute. Father in heaven, we just give you thanks for your word. We thank you for loving us so much. We thank you, as the sign says, for your amazing love. We thank you that you are here in this place right now. And you're listening to each one. And our Heavenly Father, you have your hands on our hearts. And you want to touch us today. You want us to learn. Our Heavenly Father, we just pray that you have first place in our lives. Protect us, I pray. I pray for our families as well. Lord, you know who they are. You know where they are. You know what they're doing. And our Heavenly Father, we just ask that you would bless them. And if there are those there, Lord, that don't know you as personal Savior, we just pray that you would just touch their life. We pray, our Heavenly Father, that the light of your glory might just shine forth. And we might see our young people coming back to the Lord where they need to be. We feel so very blessed here. We do. We sit here in the comfort of Grace Bible Chapel. And it feels so good. Lord, we'd like other people to have this feeling as well. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can abide in your word. And that you will teach us the things that you would have us to know. We know that you have a plan for our life. Lord, help us to follow that plan. We just give you thanks for your word at this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Young people today are so carefree, or at least they put on a good front. And a good front they could be doing. Now I'll come back to our word abide again. It means abide in, continue in, stay in God's precious word so that we may learn it well. Each person, as I mentioned in prayer, is different, yet each person needs the same thing, the very same thing. We all need Jesus Christ. Because, folks, I believe that the end is coming. I believe that it's near. I believe that it's near. And we don't have a lot of time. We don't. So we need to get our hearts right with the Lord as well. But we're all different. We all need the same thing. We all need Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And I know it's not easy. At our little church in Belleville, we're asking the same questions. You know, we look at our congregation, and we have maybe 4 people that are under the age of 65. And we as leaders have been looking down the road as to what to do. Because if we do nothing, Quinty Bible Chapel in 10 years will probably close because there won't be the people there to operate. And you know, we need to get our heads together. We need to pray about these things. We all say, and we all know that God will build his church. He said that he will build his church. But he also said in the first part of my message that he has made us his disciples. And when his disciples were there with him, he did not say, go in the upper room and stay in the upper room. He said, I am going away. Go you into all the world and preach the gospel to the young, to the old, to those who don't hear it. We are his disciples. Yes, God will build his church, but we need to be wise, especially today. We need to have patience. We need to have knowledge. And once again, we need to abide in Christ and allow Christ to abide in us. Now, perhaps, I don't know, I'm just going to shoot this out here, and I'm going to just say it from the bottom of my heart, okay? But this came to me the other night, and I got written down here, perhaps that you here at Grace maybe don't have the same problem that Quinty Bible Chapel has. So I have a suggestion for you. We'll pray for you if you will pray for us at Quinty Bible Chapel. We'll pray for you here at Grace if you'll pray for us at Quinty Bible Chapel. Because God wants his work to carry on. You know, I've been to closing of churches before, and it's not nice. It's not nice. But Grace holds a very special place in my heart and in Kathy's heart as well. So, excuse me. From the bottom of my heart to yours, I want to share with you verse 16 from John chapter 15. And the verse says that you have not chosen me. This is Jesus speaking. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Remember, we are his joy. We are his joy. He created us in his image. Okay? We are his joy, but he is our hope. And he's the only hope that we have in this world that satisfies, that will get us through. He's the only one. Joy is needed. We love to be happy. Hope is necessary. On those words, I'm going to say, may God richly bless each and every one of you as you work with the Lord Jesus Christ towards the building of his kingdom. And as my father always said, keep looking up. Keep looking up. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we need you so much. There is so much work to be done, and Lord, we just don't know how to do it sometimes. I pray, Lord, that you just open our eyes to see. Open our ears to hear what you have for us, in store for us. Teach us, I pray. Teach us, Lord, to abide in your word, to live for you and for your word, and to preach the good news of salvation. Thank you for each person here again. Lord, we just ask your blessing upon them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for having me. And I'm just going to turn the service back over to Marty.